Hi, it's Clint and Lyndon.
Welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen.
As always, our opinions are our own and should be taken with a pinch of salt.
At the sound of the Arwen cow, enjoy the episode.
Yeah, there we go. Hello, welcome to Shove It Up Your Arwen. I'm one of your hosts, Clinton. You can find me on Instagram at ClintySkyGuy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always unsure about every detail when it's coming out.
And I'm Lyndon, and I'm the other host, Pilgrim in the Mist.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Yes. On the gram of Insta. Gram of Insta. And we're gonna okay. We're gonna record an episode, and we've decided on a title and shit. But we're struggling for magical moments. So I'm gonna do mine first. Am I gonna do mine first?
Yes, you are.
I'm gonna have to do mine first. What was mine? Oh shit. What was it? I can't remember what it was. Oh no, I kinda can. Was it anything?
Oh fuck me, you're dragging it out. Right, I'm gonna go for mine. You're making this painful.
Oh, no, I had it and it's gone.
Mine was a very brief, and I'm not gonna go into the details of it, which makes it a really boring one, I apologise. But basically I had a day of dilemma. And it was a day of dilemma, darling. It was a dark day of dilemma. And it was a day where there was very clearly things speaking to me through other people, and it was wonderful. It was one of those moments where you think, ooh. So I had one person messaging me trying to convince me to do something that I knew I didn't want to do. Which I know makes it sound really kind of like weird and auspicious and whatever. It wasn't murder and it wasn't like whoring myself around or anything. It was just things I didn't want to do.
Chance be a fine thing.
I know. But then at the same time, I had someone else. It was like good angel, bad angel. I had like someone else messaging me with the right thing to do. And I was like, oh. But it was literally like one would ping and then the other one would ping. And then, but neither of them knew the other was speaking to me.
Yeah,
and it was one of those moments where you're like, oh my god, like, something's really trying to come through and tell me and, like, guide me in the right way. So, needless to say, I listened to the good person and fobbed the other person off with, no, I'm not going, can't be bothered, I'm not doing it. So, yeah, it was one of those days where I felt the universe speaking to me through other people.
Marvelous.
So, 'twas a profound moment.
Hmm.
And that's it. That's my magical moment.
That's your magical moment. You had a profound moment of listening.
I did. I did.
That's important, though. That's really important. I remember getting a reading once, and the reading was, shut up and listen.
And you're like, fuck you, bitch.
I did think, okay, that was a bit of an attack. And then I was just like, hang on a minute.
It's a bit of an attack.
You kind of asked for this, didn't you? So I did exactly that, and all of a sudden I was just like, oh, I'm an ignorant prick, and I need to just shut up and listen.
But we all know that.
Ooh, bitch! Fuck it out! And on that note, this was my spiritual...
Your magical moment.
Magical moment was... So I've been working with... certain spirits and
Gog Magoo,
Gog Magog, and the Lady of Avalon, and I've been just letting it kind of happen, and several kings' names have come forward.
Oh yeah,
and that's been quite interesting. I'm not ready to share it, but it's been really, really good, and it's kind of coincided, and you know, it's kind of like you said.
Sorry, I'm eating myself.
That's fine. You're just eating bits of your own flesh off.
I'm consuming my own flesh.
Gnawing off the dead, lifeless bits.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. Ugh.
I was going to actually explain it, but it sounds even gross when I explain it. I'm chewing my calluses from the gym.
Oh, that's gross, mate.
They annoy me.
Okay,
I need to file them down in moisture.
That's fine. You've now shared that with so many more people than just me.
Eat of my flesh and drink of my blood.
It's like being in The Omen when you start doing that.
Is it?
Yeah.
I need to watch that.
Have you not seen The Omen?
I've seen bits.
Oh, you uncultured swine.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Great film.
I've seen bits when I was young, and I haven't watched it again when I was old.
Oh my
so, like...
God. Oh my God, it's so good.
I want to watch it.
So good. So, anyway, never mind.
We digress.
What was I saying? Yeah, so much the same. It's just been a case of the coincidences, which I don't believe in coincidences, but the they've just been happening in a way that has kind of been like puzzle pieces kind of clicking together,
mm-hmm.
which has been really nice.
You know what coincidence is, don't you?
What?
Jesus.
Oh, fuck off. Oh, get off me gubbins, you weirdo. No. Although, I have felt, and I don't get this urge very often, because it's not really a thing.
The urge to converse and come to church. You can hit me now. It's fine.
Oh, it would hurt so much.
But I would like it.
I wear really chunky jewellery for a reason. So, I've been having the feeling to do spell work, which I don't do on a regular basis, because I don't.
Yes.
However, I've also thought that I need to create a lunar practice, which would be nice.
Ooh.
I have a daily practice, which is now, like, cemented. Completely and utterly cemented, because I feel weird if I miss it. And then I'm like, why does the world feel dirty? And I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't do my prayers today.
Mm.
And I'm on my own.
You need to make moon water and cry about your feelings.
Oh, fuck off. I'm not making moon water. And no one cries about their feelings unless they're a selfish, self-involved prick.
I'm going to need some moon water.
And by the way, if you cry about your feelings, I don't think you're a self-involved prick. Like, people are quite legitimately allowed to cry about their feelings.
Absolutely.
Unless it's me,
you know,
in which case feelings need to be treated like children. And
cry in
thrown
a closet
in
like a normal
choking.
Person.
Climb the closet like we did.
Yeah, exactly.
Were we ever in the closet?
I mean, I was for a long time.
Yeah.
My dad locked
I was
me in
until
a
I was like
once.
19. Huh?
My dad locked me in a suitcase once.
Well, that needs unpacking, but later.
Well,
oh, that unpacking! Later. Yeah, so I've had the need to do spell work, which has been really weird, because I don't generally, because it's not really a big thing in Druidry, is like spells and things. It's kind of a lot of
spells and things.
It's a lot of ritual and a lot of observance, but very little in the way of actual magic.
Yes, darling, but thou art a sorcerer.
Thou art. So
you know.
Yeah, I've had the need for speed, pop a couple
get
of pills and get on with it.
Get to it!
Yeah, so there's going to be lots, I think.
That's good. I've been very neglectful.
Oh, you're shit.
I know. It was like, so for me, there was this massive build-up towards confirmation. Build-up. And then it happened and it was great and everything felt great. And then it kind of wound down.
Oh.
And I found the winding down to be particularly difficult.
Yeah, because, anticlimactic.
Yeah, because, you know, it was great for that moment, and now you've got to get used to the normal, and coming down from that high is really difficult.
Yeah.
So I need to settle into my new normal. So I will get back into my charming practice, and I will get back into all of it, but at the moment I'm settling in, I'm letting the dust settle.
That's important.
Yeah.
That's really important. I remember my first initiation. There we go. I nearly said the wrong word. I nearly said indoctrination. It's very different. Very different.
It is.
Not a cult. I remember my first initiation, and then I remember to come down from that. And I remember going to, which was weird, something called Soul Survivor when I was a teenager.
Mm.
You don't need to know about that.
It sounds bad.
It was a little weird.
That sounds very culty.
And I had a very spiritual experience.
Okay.
And that was interesting, but the come down from that was uncomfortable. So I get it. I really get it. But yeah, no, it's cool. Anyway, so we wanted to talk about rules. Is that the right word? Yeah, kind of.
Guidelines.
Guidelines. They're more like guidelines than actual rules. And you have to be a wanker for the wanker's code to apply, which you're not.
No, I very much am.
I wank for two.
Morning, noon and night, darling. In fact, I'm doing it right now.
Gross. So yeah, I thought it was interesting because my brain was ticking over this idea about the I can't listen to the red text anymore because they got on my nerves.
You know, okay. Shots fired.
That's
great.
Fine. Shots fired. They got on my nerves on an episode, and
that's fine.
Lovely. Don't get me wrong. Absolutely brilliant. Possibly if you're Catholic, I'm not.
You're not.
And so, it hit a nerve with me, and I was like, no, I can't listen anymore. So I'm quite gutted actually, because I enjoyed it.
That's fair enough.
Until recently.
You took it as far as you could.
Yeah. And it's really good if you're looking to practice Catholicism and sideline as a magical individual. Was that gag worthy?
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not. It got a bit heavy for me, and I was just like, no, I can't do it anymore. Can't listen. But one thing they did bring up, which was why I liked listening to it, was how they approach the kind of the doctrine and the rules that are set out by one group as opposed to another. And I was thinking, okay, that's interesting, because like in Catholicism, you've got like the Ten Commandments, and you've got other things that I don't know. And in witchcraft, you have things like the Wiccan Reed, and you have like the Rule of Three, and stuff like that. In Druidry, you have, in ADF Druidry, you have the, what is it? The Nine Virtues. In Obod Druidry, there isn't necessarily the Nine Virtues, but there's definitely something along those lines in regards to, they kind of follow the same sort of whatever you dish out, you get back.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that karma thing thrown in,
yeah,
which is annoying because it doesn't belong to the
peacefully
West.
Appropriated term of karma.
Wonderfully appropriated.
That is wrong, but yes.
It is, yeah, because it doesn't, karma doesn't mean how it's used in the West.
No, not at all.
It's just an Eastern term that we've used to appropriate and keep hold of Christian ideas outside of the Christian doctrine. Treat your neighbour as you would like to be treated.
Yeah, basically.
Which is exactly what it is, but that's not what karma means. What are your thoughts?
On what? Sorry, what?
So thanks so much for listening to Shove It Up Your Arwen, and we'll catch you later. Thanks. Bye. Fucking hell. Oh my god. But I mean, how do you equate it? Because you have those rules to follow.
I do.
So don't do witchcraft, for example. No? Yes?
Where's that written?
I don't know. I'm making it up.
Where's that fucking written? I haven't read that. It's not in the Ten Commandments. It's not in the Beatitudes.
What the fuck are the Beatitudes?
Sermon on the Mount, darling.
Oh, that's Jesus's...
Jesus.
Don't be offended. That's Jesus's prattling on the hill, isn't it? Don't twitch at me, that's weird.
Yes.
Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
It's him prattling on a hill.
What we're expected to do, it's the continuation of.
Yeah.
Be
nice.
Yeah, basically. The reason why they don't, there's this big bashing of magic in, and it's not witchcraft. Witchcraft didn't even exist back then.
Mm-mm.
There was sorcery back then. You had magi back in those days, love. You had magi. But the reason why they did it was because there were a lot of people around, and they had to distinguish Christ from other magicians.
Mm-hmm.
So, and unfortunately, a lot of magicians did things either for money or an exchange of some sort, or
it was all about trade, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was to glorify the self. So, whereas what Jesus was doing was he wasn't accepting anything for it, and he was preaching entirely new things. So they've labelled it as a bad thing to distinguish it from other things, but also you've got to look at the approach. So it goes back to, I think ages ago I mentioned the Sorcerer Simon.
You did.
Versus Saint Peter.
You did.
And the only negative in that whole story, basically Simon goes around doing all these things and claims he's the new Messiah. That's the only bad thing he did. If he just continued doing his thing and didn't claim to be the Messiah, he would have been left alone.
Yeah.
But he didn't, and he tried to pull worship away from the Lord.
Away from the Lord.
Away from the Lord. So then Peter got involved, and then it all went a bit tits up, and people turned on Simon. So then he started flying through the air, throwing fireballs at people, basically. And when Peter cried out for God to do something, God did nothing. So then he had to ask again and again, and then he falls to his knees and he cries up to heaven for God to do something. And all God does is take away his ability to use magic. So Peter and Simon just falls from the sky and lands on the ground. And it's the people that kill Simon.
Mm.
God doesn't do it. God only takes away the gift that Simon has abused.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
So there isn't really anything. But so, like, you've got the 10 commandments. Let me just Google those so I can refresh everyone's mind.
I used to like playing a nice game of how many 10 commandments have you broken? In pagan circles.
All of them.
I've broken every single one except...
Thou shalt not kill. Who did you kill? Where did you bury them?
I do know somebody who broke all 10. And that's quite interesting. With witchcraft, which is just amazing. And I'm like, right, fab. And those who know, and I will not share it. So there we go. That's that. But that was a fun game. That was definitely a fun game. It's quite a quick game as well. You kind of just
So the basic version of the Ten Commandments is you shall have no other gods before me.
Okay.
Fair.
Broke that.
You shall not make idols.
Oh yeah, broke that.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain.
For God's sake. Broke that.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Fuck off, I do washing every day.
Oh,
no.
Honour your father and your mother.
Yeah, oh, no. Hell no.
Oh, no. You shall not murder.
No, I'm all right. I've not done that one.
Which is actually an interesting one. Yes. So people, that's actually the right way of putting it. You shall not murder. It doesn't mean you can't take life. If you take life defending yourself, defending life, it's fine. I mean, death is bad anyway, but like, you know, taking all life is sacred, but... That's kind of like a little clause. That, yeah. You know. You shall not commit adultery.
Done that.
You shall not steal.
Yeah, I've done that.
You shall not bear false witness against your neighbour.
What's that mean?
Gossip, darling.
Oh, don't, God, I've done that.
Don't gossip and don't lie about them.
Yeah.
Well,
no, I haven't done that, though.
You shall not covet.
What's that? Oh, I want something somebody else has got. Yeah, welcome to my life. We all do that.
So those are the Ten Commandments. And then you have the Beatitudes.
That 10?
I think so. Was that 10? I don't know. I've closed it down now.
Aww.
Was that 10? Hang on.
Was that 10?
Hold on, love.
Thou shalt not cuff it was the last one. I did this.
Yes, it was 10.
Was it?
Yes.
Oh, I can't fucking count.
No. Ooh. Evidently not.
Oh, no, no. I've broken 9.
Well, there we go.
There we go.
So then you have the Beatitudes. These are lovely. So, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Aww.
Which is lovely. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.
Yeah.
Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Wow.
Oh, honey. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God.
Blessed are the cheesemakers.
Peacemakers.
Cheesemakers.
The candlestick makers.
The candlestick makers.
Blessed are those who are persecuted against righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then this is wonderful because I love this one. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Oh, blessed are you.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this, persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. To me, I love that. Because when people are like, you're a disgusting abomination, you're gay, Jesus hates you, meh. I just think of that and I'm like, okay. Thanks.
Okay, your insults are sending me to heaven.
Yes, thank you very
nice.
Much.
Nice.
And then there is a bit more added to that, but I'm not going to go into it.
No.
It
goes on for a while, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. The Beatitudes go on for a little bit. But, lovely. And they're reasonably easy things to follow. It's not like, you know, just worship God. Don't make false idols. Don't be a gossiping little bitch around people's backs and lie about people.
Yeah, don't be a gossip.
Don't steal. Just don't be an arsehole, basically.
Hmm. I like it.
But it's, there's nothing in that that says, thou shalt not practice magic.
No, there isn't. There isn't. There's nothing in the Ten Commandments. No, it's in the Bible, in like probably in one bit, which is like...
Well, a lot of it, you see quite a lot of it come about in like the King James Version, because he had a massive thing against witchcraft, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. So. He did. He was convinced witches were trying to take his throne off him, which is just brilliant.
Yes.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah, so in Druidry, you've got... Well, in ADF Druidry, you've got the nine virtues, which are... Were piety, wisdom, vision, integrity, courage, and perseverance, moderation, hospitality, and fertility. Which are pretty good, actually.
And how does that work for rules? Do you have to abide by all of them?
No, it's encouraging them. It's a lot more like growing these virtues in your life. So... Not necessarily following them as doctrine or following them as rules, mm-hmm. but remembering that they play a part in living life well and living life in a right way. There's a conversation in one of the ADF books, which is like a mob boss could commit all manner of crime and still live by those virtues because he's still being pious mm-hmm. in his life. He's still, you know, observing wisdom and using wisdom in his life. It's just his MO is not necessarily, you know, nice or good, you know, but he's not necessarily going against any of those virtues by being a criminal. He's just, you know...
Doing his thing.
Doing his thing.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting that you could live your life however you like and still follow those virtues. And I kind of like that because it in two ways. It means that not only are the virtues, you know, there as a way of you guiding how you live your life, but they're fallible,
yes.
Which means you have to question them all the time, which means you're always evaluating yourself. It's not just something that you go, oh, well, I'm following the virtue. No, did you follow the virtue in the right way, really, you know? And, yeah, you can convince yourself you've done it right, but really, you know whether you're being an idiot or a dickhead or not. And then if you think about witchcraft, you've got to know, to will, to do, and to remain silent.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that's to... I always got...
But that was like keeping it secret, wasn't it?
But I always worry. Always wondered about that one, because it's not. It's. So does it apply? I always wondered. Does it apply to people, or does it apply to the work that you're doing?
So I think it's ridiculous for people who would consider themselves witches to follow rules.
Yeah, to a degree. Yeah.
To any degree. Fuck the rules.
To a degree.
Why? What rules do you think
I
should apply?
I don't think it's rules. I think it's... Because there's this phrase as well that I hate, and it's called nature's law.
Okay.
It's just... You can apply nature's law to a lot of things. Nature doesn't have law. There are no laws of nature.
Mm.
Nature has observable habits.
Yes.
And depending in the universe on where you are, those habits change. And just because we've observed the habits for this last so many years... The planet wasn't always this way. It didn't always spin this.
Now, haven't we? Because of climate change, things just aren't following.
The habits patterns. Are changing. Yeah. Exactly, the patterns are changing. So nature, universal law, and I was listening to another podcast. I'm not going to badmouth this one because I still like it. and they mentioned that magic exists within nature's laws. And I was just like, nature has habits.
Yeah.
Not laws. That's why scientists are still figuring out new things about the way nature works. It's because it's not defined by laws. It's literally, it's got habits. It has a few things that are immeasurable.
Mm.
And that's important. Because that's how magic works. Yeah. Magic is immeasurable. That's the whole point.
I view, so for witches specifically, I think if you actively call yourself a witch, you are actively participating in anarchy and chaos. And not to say you're a chaos magician or anything like that, but I think it's very much a fuck you to the status quo and the patriarchy, and you're taking power back for yourself. It's self-sovereignty.
Oh, yeah, so self-sovereignty. Yeah.
If you are fully embracing self-sovereignty and you're fully embracing the chaotic flow to whatever the known establishment is, why would you then be like, but I have to follow these rules? No.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It's like the threefold rule, threefold law, isn't it? Whatever you give out, you shall shall return to you threefold. Is utter
bollocks.
Bull. Utter bull.
Bollocks.
Utter bull. And if there is somebody out there who goes, oh yeah, but I did something once and it came back and it was so bad, you deserved it. You actually have probably put yourself in a position whereby you got your comeuppance and you just expedited the situation.
It's like anything, isn't it? Action always has consequence.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what it is.
And so, you can't always equate it to magic either.
No, and it's not always a magical thing. You know, it could be you did a working for a job because you needed that job, you needed the money, great. But then the job ends up not quite being what you thought it was. The demands are greater than you thought. You're knackered, you're worn out, blah, 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 blah. Negative consequences for the working you did.
Yeah.
It's not a magical thing. It's just you got what you wanted and now you've made your bed, you've got to lie in it.
Yeah. You got what you wanted, but you didn't know what you needed.
Yeah.
You know?
So I just think it's ridiculous.
And that's a learning curve.
Yeah. So I think it's ridiculous for witches, anyone who considers themselves a witch, to follow rules. I'm sure, you know, like you said, there are habits and there's like universal balance and things like that, that whatever. But as a person, personally, I think if you hold yourself accountable for rules, I think you really need to sit back and question what you classify yourself as.
Yeah.
Like with druids, I get it, because as you said, druids don't necessarily do a lot of spellcraft. It's more ritual and observance. So you're keeping flow with the natural ebbs of nature and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's ways, like, even within druidry, you can manipulate the flow even within those doctrines, even within those ideas in druidry, is that you observe the flow and such. And there's this element of, oh, well, if I observe and I see that that there's a balance here that isn't quite right, I can possibly shift it. And the idea is sound. It's very sound.
Yeah.
But you can shift it too far one way or too far the other to benefit from it. But you always have to remember that that's unsustainable. Mm. And sooner or later, it will ping back the other way and, you know, go extreme reverse. And that balance situation will take a long time to come back. It will seesaw before it eventually balances out again. And, you know, in druidry, you kind of understand that almost, and you learn from nature's habits that any magical or spiritual act, you know, has an equal and opposite in some respects. So, and you have to be aware that sooner or later, that has to be like either adjusted or amended or appreciated for things to, you know, carry on smoothly. Otherwise, it will get ripped from you when the ricochet actually happens.
Yeah.
You know? You can do it. You can make yourself supremely powerful for a time, but eventually it will go back the other way. And you'll lose everything that you gained by affecting the balance in that respect.
Yeah. I tend to focus on now, whenever I do any workings, it just falls under either healing, protection, or blessing, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But then I like to back up any spiritual work with physical work. So if I go through a phase of doing a lot of like magic work, I'll then spend a lot of time doing decent things. So trying to live by the Beatitudes, giving charity to people, being kind to people, doing other nice things. You've got to lay the groundwork in.
Mm.
There's a lot of talk in the Bible of vines and fruit. You know, how you have like healthy fruit and healthy vines and all this kind of stuff.
Oh, yes.
Bad apples and all this kind of stuff.
So good apples.
There's a lot of fruit apples. Metaphors.
And mustard seeds.
Yes. And so I like to think of it that way. So my good work is like, it's almost like laying down the like good soil for the fruit that I want to manifest in my life. I hate using the term manifest, but the things that I want to kind of cultivate in my life spiritually, I like to lay the groundwork in physically, because I think it gives a good basis.
Yeah.
If I'm doing all this like blessings and healing, but I'm actually a selfish cunt, it's not really going to work, is it? So I like.
Wait,
to
you're
try.
Not.
Well.
Shh. Wait, hang on a minute. What? When did that change?
I'm just gonna go. But I try and be a good person. I try. Because then, you know, I like to do my part, because then I think it makes it more genuine. You know, if I'm genuinely trying to do these nice things, blessings and whatever, and I want my prayers to manifest, and I don't want them to just be words, self-serving words to make myself feel better, platitudes, I guess, you know, oh God, please, you know, let so-and-so make their dreams come true, whatever. But like, unless you're actually trying to be a decent person, those words will have no meaning. You're just doing it and saying it to make yourself feel better.
Yeah.
To, you know, nourish that tiny little bit of whatever. Whereas I'd rather just try and be a decent person where I can, when I can, and make a difference where possible. So mm-hmm. that when I do pray and when I do magical workings, on behalf of other people or for other people, whatever, it's genuine.
And I think that's where, in Druidry, in AEF, that's where the virtues come into play.
Yeah.
It's because, like, when you're, you know, when you're faced with a difficult situation with another person, you're reminded to use wisdom, you're reminded to act with piety, you know, you're reminded to approach the situation with vision, with a broad vision, see all sides. You're reminded then that you have to use courage, you have to stay within your own integrity, you have to persevere with whatever's happening, and then you've got to react with hospitality, and you have to make sure that you're using moderation in your reactions,
not just smashing them in the face with your staff.
Exactly. And then that whatever it is yields a fertile situation, you know. And it's not that those virtues are there to tell you what to do all the time. They're just a set of virtues that have been worked out by ADF as things that, generally speaking, if you apply them in most situations, they yield profitable and potentially positive results that, you know, are better than just going in there blindly and not using that sort of rational thinking, you know. I think it's all a you know, a way of using discernment, isn't it?
Yes.
And I think that's where those rules and things come into play. I was going to have a little look at the Wiccan Read, and but I think I gave that book away because I don't use it anymore. But the Wiccan Read is quite interesting because it gives loads of... It's like a book of small segments that tell you how to deal with this, that and the other. And it's almost like an instruction guide. A little bit like in Thelema, you've got the Book of the Law, which has been like boiled down into the number 93, you know, do what thou will shall be the whole of the law, 93, which can be used to do all sorts of things, good and bad. However, when you look at the broader thing from the book, actually it's not telling you to be horrible or anything. It's, you know, and it's not about being self-serving. It's about using self-sovereignty to be a positive force, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole book is about, really, about how love is the factor which causes everything to happen. And love, in a broad sense of the word, as the union of things. So
love will keep us together.
Oh, you weirdo. Get off my beard. That needs trimming. It's too long.
It does.
It does need trimming. But yeah, love, the whole concept of love is that things coming together to produce something else bigger and better from the two original constituent parts.
Yes.
You know, and that's a wonderful idea. But yeah, I never understood the to know, to will, to do, to be silent. I thought it was a bit like, oh, you have to keep everything secret.
Well, that's how it was originally done, wasn't it? It was to keep covens and whatever, like, safe.
Yeah, which is why I don't think it makes sense nowadays. At all. Unless it's something that you've done a spell and, you know, you keep it to yourself because the more people that are involved in that spell, the more that it can be deviated.
Well,
I don't know.
I guess, I mean, if you're part of like an Edgelord coven.
Edgelord coven,
yeah.
What Edgelord coven?
People that, like, you know, they take themselves super serious.
Oh, I like that.
And
that's
they wear
cool.
black clothing and gather under the dark moon and they whisper in secret and they have daggers in their pockets. And
that's right, I never did that. And,
you know, all that kind of... If you take it too seriously, I just I would imagine it implies to that, and you wouldn't want people talking about the rituals you've done, because then obviously if you start telling people, other people can then meddle, because there's always that one asshole out there that's like, ooh, I'm gonna do magic on that person, or ooh, I'm gonna unpick their work. So
yeah,
so I guess in that respect it makes sense.
Yeah. So Do you apply the beatitudes and all the stuff everywhere in life?
No. So that whole part, let me bring it back up again. That whole part is just to kind of show you. Jesus is talking about like where you'll find him and the people that, you know, he's there
for. Where you'll find him.
Where you? No, that's my fitness pal. That's not the Bible.
That's not. You're looking at the wrong app.
Oh, honey.
That's the wrong app.
So
is it just spiritual instructions, or is it living instructions, or is it... I heard an interesting thing that Bible stood for brief instructions before leaving Earth. And I was like, it's anything but fucking brief. It's a fucking immense book.
What is this? Jesus begins to preach. Jesus versus his first disciples. Oh, here we go, the best.
Jesus versus
so
Satan.
This is kind of all...
Love to see that showdown. Yes.
So this is just, yeah, so the first part that I read out originally, this is just the people that are accepted within the church. Because you've got to understand, up to this point in the story, people were told very specifically, like, who was welcome, who wasn't welcome.
Oh, God, yeah, of course.
Yeah, so...
Blasphemy.
And it was, you know...
Yeah, only so many people were allowed in the temple. You had to do this,
you had
to do that, you had to do the other.
Specific synagogues and things like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Certain holidays were held at certain places.
Yeah,
and if you fell outside of that...
You were shunned.
Yeah, if you were a Samaritan, for example, Samaritans and the Jews did not like each other.
No.
So, and you couldn't attend certain festivals to worship God... Because they were in Jerusalem. It was like, you're not welcome there. So how do you do this? So the first part of all this is basically Jesus saying, look, I'm here for everybody. So don't worry about, there are no barriers, there are no boundaries, there's no walls. It's just, I'm here for everybody. So the Beatitudes that I read out earlier kind of addresses the majority of people. You know, there are people who are peacemakers, there are people who are pure of heart, there are people who are merciful, there are people... those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. There are people who, you know, feel like they've been scorned and they cry out for righteousness. People who are meek. There are people who mourn. People who are poor in spirit. People who have been persecuted. So it's all about that. So then he kind of moves on. So there's this whole salt and light thing. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and to be trampled underfoot.
Tis the dust.
You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, and they will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So this is about temperament. You've got, like, salt is used as a preservative and it's used to add flavour, but if it loses its flavour, it's good for nothing, so you get rid of it.
Yeah.
So this is about addressing certain people, and again with light. So it's about, don't hide your light, let people see your goodness. Too often people are, you hear it a lot when people ask questions like, are you a Christian or are you a Catholic? Especially within the Christian faith, I think there's quite a lot of shame about it. You wouldn't think it when you get these kind of crazy evangelists that try and Bible bash you when you walk down the road.
Yeah, but those are the people that make
other those, people ashamed.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so, which is so horribly wrong.
I mean, I'm unafraidedly Catholic. I'll more than happily tell people I'm a Catholic. I don't care anymore. Like, it doesn't bother me. But there was a period of time when I first started where I was like, oh, do I really want to tell people? Do I want to tell people? So this whole chapter is about, like, allowing your light to shine, and also how you apply your, you know, the flavor of this to your life. Don't allow anything to spoil. Don't oversalt. If you oversalt food, you kill it.
Yeah, if you're overzealous.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ruin it. So it's about, yeah, yeah, the whole salt thing is about temperance. Like, you've got to do it in the right
moderation,
way.
Isn't
to,
it?
Exactly, moderation. Yeah. And then you've got to allow those good deeds to shine through. But then he also goes on to explain, like, don't be arrogant. So you don't, this is why we don't talk about, although every Christian is encouraged to give alms and whatever, don't talk about it.
No.
Because that's then bragging. You're no longer doing it for spiritual fulfillment. You're doing it for self-gratification.
And again, I think a lot of that got superimposed into magical traditions. You know, the be silent thing is almost that.
Yeah,
it's to know, to will, to do, and to not brag about it. You know, and I think there's a lot of, you know, Christianity in the neo-pagan movement that people just don't address and don't identify. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it. Absolutely nothing wrong with it at all. Nothing in the slightest. Because it's about making sure that, you know, you could take that message from anywhere. That message probably exists in a million different places in exactly the same way. You know, don't over egg your pudding.
Stay humble.
Stay humble. Be nice. You know, don't overdo it. There's a time and a place for it. And read the fucking room.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't just be this person all the time, because there's more to you than that, and you have to have different hats in your life.
Yeah, which is a delicate line for me to walk across, being, and this is where I disagree with some people who would class themselves like Catholics and or sorcerers, witches and other things. I know I class myself as a charmer, but there's a different way of working with that. There are a lot of charms within Catholicism. So that kind of works.
Yeah,
I'm not by any means trying to say I'm better, but I am. I'm not.
You're like, so much
the
better.
The line I have to walk with it is, like, when I make and I put together a charm or an amulet or whatever, and then I bless it, it's not me doing it. I have to get that in my head. So when I pray over it, yes, I'm saying the words, but the grace comes from somewhere else. When I chant a psalm over it, yes, it carries the echo of all the power from all the other, like, places that has come from and all the other people it chants, but the source of that grace again comes from somewhere else. So I have to remember when I do these things, it's not me doing it. And in those few occasions when I do use my own secular power, I have to make sure that I'm doing it for the right reasons, and I have to make sure that I stay humble rather than being like, oh my god, I did this, I'm so amazing, I did this. So I have to toe the line. I have to walk
but it's
gently
so
and carefully.
True.
The problem is when you get people who are like, I'm Catholic, yes, I'm a Catholic, and then they'll go and they'll do like witchcraft or sorcery or whatever, and it's all glorification of the self. Yes, I'm so powerful. Yes, I'm a queen. Yes, I'm this.
Yeah.
I've conjured this power, and I've called on these spirits, and I've done this, and I created this, and blah blah blah. And it's like, okay. And then it's like, but then I'm going to go to Mass on Sunday and I'm going to accept the Eucharist and, you know, I'm a humble Christian, honey. No, absolutely not. The two things do need mingle.
You do get the same in any, you know, religious or spiritual group, though. You get it in lots and lots of places. And I've had experiences of people who have been, you know, and I've been challenged on it. You know, you only do this for the ego. You only do that because of your ego. And I can categorically say that I don't. Just because, generally speaking, I'm just that person who does it for my own reasons and shares it because I like sharing.
Yeah.
And if you don't like it, I actually couldn't care less.
It depends on the motives, right? I mean, like, you know, your Druid Spotlights, for example, you like to share things with the community. because you like to educate people and you like to do it like that.
Yeah.
It's not about, oh, I'm so knowledgeable, look at me.
No, and I couldn't, like, if I got no comments or no likes, I actually don't care.
It's about putting the information out there.
Because it's like, I kind of use it as a study thing. So that I now, like, it's completely selfish. It's not about the ego. It's completely, like, it's a drive for me to study.
Yeah.
And I know that if I do it and produce something that I can share with other people, then I'm more likely to do it because I like sharing. And it's just something that I enjoy doing.
I think,
but I think there are those who do the same who would glorify their actions.
Yeah.
And I think that's just a bit daft. You know, I got invited onto a podcast when we were in COVID and I was doing the weekly remembrance.
Oh, yes.
Videos. And this guy was like, what made you do it? And I was like, well, my other half works in the funeral industry and I know that there are people who are unable to go to funerals. So they're given an opportunity to mourn and say goodbye and do the thing with me online once a week, you know, and we're losing people by the thousands every day. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be thousands or hundreds of thousands of people affected by this. You know, and even then somebody challenged me and said, you're just doing it for the ego. And I was like, I'm really not. I'm really just doing it because it's an act of service and it's something for me to do to keep me busy because I can't be idle. If I'm idle, I mental health kicks in.
As someone who knows you, like, I know that there were times where you were doing that stuff and you were worn out and you were run ragged. And
God, it was awful. Yeah.
You still did it.
And I had to scale it back. When it started getting less interest and less people, I started scaling it back and then I stopped. Mm. You know, and there are people who still want it and it's just no, sorry. Because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't something that I could physically keep doing now that I'm back at work, and especially not now that I'm in this job. But yeah, I think it's important that, you know, you identify your motives very early on. And you know, I think sometimes these rules and these guides are important to have, but they're there as guides. Like the Pirate Code, it's a guide. It's not rules, it's a guide. It's about discernment and self-evaluation. These are questions that you should be asking yourself.
I think it depends on what you're doing. If you're following a spirituality,
yes,
or a magical practice, I think then yes, guidelines. If you're following a religion, I think that's slightly different. I think religions generally tend to be a bit more stringent on the rules. I mean, it's not to say that you can't break a few of them. I mean, I break commandments all the time. But, like, there's got to be that degree of... what's the word I'm looking for? It's gone. The word's gone. Accountability. There we go. There's got to be accountability. You can't just do whatever the fuck you want because you want to do it and then be like, oh, it's fine, I'll just follow the other rules later. It doesn't work.
Yeah, you have to hold yourself accountable.
Going back to when I've heard people describe themselves as witches and Catholics, like, again, that's fine, but one of them is about self-sovereignty and doing whatever you want and claiming your own power, and the other one is about humility and service to a high being. Like, they don't work. And I've heard people who identify like that talking about, you know, do you get revenge? Do you do, like, curses and things like that to get revenge? It's like, yes, I do. Well, okay. Once again, we return to the Beatitudes, darling.
Yeah.
Eye for an eye. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your cloak as well. So it's about, don't get revenge. If someone comes for you, just surrender to it and just let it happen.
Yeah, and you know what? There's so much to be said for that because it disempowers, you know, even in self-defense, it disempowers the individual who's coming for you. You know, if you hand it over willingly, knowing that it will bring them nothing.
Exactly.
You know, then go ahead and do it. And I think...
And there's a whole love thy enemy as you love yourself.
Yeah.
So... Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting.
To gain from violence. Violence begets more violence.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do is to just say, okay, you know, you wanna come for me, I won't fight you, I'm not gonna retaliate. What I am gonna do though is I'm gonna confront you with kindness.
Yeah, the triads are a bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Druid triads are very much like that. The Irish ones and the Welsh ones. I like the Welsh ones more than the Irish ones. The Irish ones I don't quite understand. because I'm just like I think there's a lot more in the Irish ones that I don't understand because I probably don't know the Irish stories as well as I know the Welsh ones. However, even within that, they are very, very short renditions or reminders of things that happened.
Mm.
So it's like, remember always the three sons that, I don't know, lost everything their father had for them. And then it will go, such and such did this, such and such did that, and such did the other.
Mm.
And they're a reminder of bad deeds that led to the repercussions of their actions. And then when their father passed, they'd already had everything he owned. They'd already squandered all the land, and they'd already... So then when their father passed away and had all that to then give them, they'd already spent it and were left with nothing, and then had nothing, you know, because they didn't follow the societal rules at the time, which were to be humble and to be, you know, good host and a good guest, you know, to follow, you know, the rules of hospitality, which were huge, huge things. The rules of hospitality have existed in cultures around the world and been a massive part of cultures around the world for a very good reason, you know, and we seem to have forgotten those nowadays with consumerism. Is it people consumerism? Capitalism.
Yeah, people don't care anymore, do they? Everything's designed to serve the self now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, rude.
Yeah.
It's rude. I mean, it's lovely, it's great, fine, but it's a little bit rude. And I think self-development is great. Share it. You know, don't let it hold you back from doing nice things for other people.
I think it's important to recognise, like, again, I have to use my religion because it's the only point of reference I really have. But, like, with my religion, I have to understand that, you know, a lot of this stuff was written over 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, of course.
Fine. I have to make it fit and work within the modern world. People back then weren't doing the things that people nowadays do. I mean, we're still people, and I would imagine a lot of the things and our mentality runs the same way. We all wanted things. We worked hard for money so we could buy things and supply for our families and whatever. But we have it so much easier now than they did back then. But at the same time, we also have it so much harder now than they did back then. Our lives are filled with so much shit now that they didn't have to worry about back then.
Yeah.
So you've got to make the rules work for you now while still holding true to their core value.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think you're right. I think it is all about guidelines.
Yeah. More like guidelines than actual rules. And I think they're important to have. Yes. I think they're important to have. I think this whole idea of like, oh, there aren't any rules, it's great, there's no rules, is fine. But have you got guidelines? Have you got things that you can go back to and go, oh, hang on a minute, how can I deal with this incredibly difficult situation? And, you know, what guidelines are out there to help me deal with this? And when you have a look at a spiritual practice that you've got, and there aren't any, I feel for that individual who's lived with this spiritual practice that's been completely lawless and you know, guidelineless, and that has nothing to shelter you during those dark nights. When
when you build your own, isn't it? I mean, even...
Hopefully people are strong enough for that. And it's a hard thing.
There are people out there that are like, I listen to and you listen to and other people. Like, I know Marshall, the Witch of Southern Light, for example. Like, he is a witch. I don't know if he necessarily follows any strict rules or doctrines. I haven't spoken to him about that. But I do know that he has spirit contracts. And he honors those contracts. So within that, there is... those rules. It's a contracted rule, but he honours those, and because he honours those pacts, the blessings and the power and all that perpetuates in his life. So I suppose if anything ever did go hinky, he could rely on those spirits that he has a contract with, and he upholds the rules and the laws of that contract.
And there's the guidelines.
Yeah.
And that's come from, you know, and we know that he's a seasoned practitioner.
Very. Yeah.
You know, a very seasoned practitioner, and he's had those dark nights, and this is as a result of it. He now has guidelines and such. But there's always those that... I feel for those individuals who flit in and out of the magical world, because when things got difficult, there was nothing to fall back on.
Mm, what is it that saying in Practical Magic? You can't practice magic while you look down your nose at it.
Yes.
Can't dip in and out, love.
No, no. And I do feel for people who dip in, you know, get all that power from it, and then they have a hard time, and that power all falls away, mm-hmm. because it's got no grounding in something that actually props you up when you need it to. It's the reason that I think Wayne, who then became Catholic, and I think it was the nature of his job that you know, put the nail in the coffin for it, because...
No pun intended
at all. But there's only so many ways you can cope with that much death. Mm. And where does a pagan leader go when, you know, they have things that they really need to leave at the altar?
Mm.
You know, you need a priest.
I suppose it gave him a good eyesight as to where things were going as well. Because, I mean, he was doing quite a lot of dark stuff.
There was, yeah. And that was because he was trying to...
Yeah.
You look back on it and it was like you're looking for that thing to give you access to the answers to these horrible things that you're currently starting to experience and be opened up to. And it's very interesting. It's very, very interesting. Like, people who deal with that sort of stuff, they're classed as like visceral insulators. So those people who deal with death, those people who deal with the detritus of humanity, those people who are counsellors and teachers in difficult places and stuff like that, they're kind of the visceral insulators, because you only ever see the end result, which is padded out and fresh coat of paint over it,
yeah.
that looks all bright and shiny, but that person has had to stuff the guts back in to whatever they're dealing with.
Yeah.
And we don't see that.
No.
But where do they then go if they don't have an underpinning of guidelines and rules that when they're having a really shit day, and not only are they dealing with the gravity of that, but they have a normal life like the rest of us, which is wrought with anxieties of its own, where do they then go if you don't have that underpinning of guidelines? And I think you can apply exactly the same idea to a spiritual, magical life, you know, that it's all well and good if everything's going in your favour, and without those rules and guidelines, without some sort of thing, you know, that is questionable, that is relatable, that you can test frequently, you know, that isn't, it's not something that is like written in stone, you don't do it, you can't do it any other way, because that's black and white and the world is not black and white, but something that you can meld and apply to a situation and question, you know, apply slightly or in full force. I think that's a good thing to have. I've kind of waffled a bit there. Sorry.
No, it was good.
Waffled. But yeah, that's our chantering over for an hour, I think. Any last words?
No.
Yeah? Yeah.
No, other than that you're beautiful and I kind of like you.
Ah.
I said kind of.
It's mutual.
Yeah.
Kinda. thanks. You can find us on the internet.
You can find us
on the internet. We're at Shove It Up Your Arwen on Instagram, and you can Google us.
I have to say, just sorry, while I remember it.
You've got a minute and like...
Oh, God, so the hymns today in service were shit.
Oh, were they?
All over the fucking place. And there was one line in one of the hymns, and it was... it was so badly written. I am the Lord, without me, you are nothing. And it was without me, I am the Lord, without me, you are nothing. I just sort of heard it in a London accent.
Oh, my word.
I was like, that is shit.
Was Liz there today?
Yeah.
Oh, lovely Liz. Hi, Liz.
Just thought I'd share.
So yeah, those are our opinions, and because I know there are listeners out there, because I've had messages going, you said this and I don't think you're right, tough. It's an opinion. I don't care. Opinions are like arseholes. Everyone has them. So don't worry about it.
And you're entitled to your opinion. And we love your opinion.
Everyone has them. And the next bit is some of them stink. I know. Anyway, thanks very much. And if you don't like it, you know, you can shove it up your arm. Thank you very much for listening. You can catch us on all sorts of things. Goodbye.
Bye.